Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Once again this evening, we're going to be expounding the Word of God. This is another expository teaching, line by line, precept upon precept. And we're going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to break down verses 11 through 15. And please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking you now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to break down verses 11 through 15. And so, this evening's message, if you look here on the screen, on your screens at home, here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Render No One Evil for Evil. Once again, this evening's message is entitled, Render No One Evil for Evil. So are you there? Do you have your Bibles with you? Let's go down and break it down, verses 11 through 15. And the Word of God reads, Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. This is where I got our topic. But always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Praise God, praise God. So, let's go back to verse 11. Therefore, comfort. Say that with me at home. Comfort each other and edify one another, just as also you are doing. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, This is what God is asking and expecting you and I as a believer, is to edify one another, to build each other up, never to tear down. One of the things that God has established His church is for that we would walk in His ways, that we would walk in the ways of God, that we would learn to love one another unconditionally. Now, we're going to look as we go further into this Bible study on how God wants us to entreat one another and how He expects us to walk in His ways. And so, saints of God, despite persecution and their sorrow over fellow believers who had died in the faith, the Christians needed to encourage each other about the certainty of their future reunion with all believers who had gone on before and the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, Paul referred to this also in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go there real quick and let's read this verse of scripture. Look what Paul wrote here to the Corinthian church. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Did you catch that? He's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Let me just pause there. Many of us are going to go through challenges, trials, and tribulations. But you and I are called to be comforters, that we would use the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, to lift each other up and to comfort one another. Praise God. Let's continue with that verse. Who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to what? Comfort those who are in any trouble. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's the key, because God comforts us. So if God comforts us, we have no excuse, my friends, to comfort others who are going through trials and tribulations. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Did you catch that, my friends? Jesus suffered many persecutions. He suffered many unruly things that men and women during his day had spoke of him disrespectfully. They accused him falsely. But I'm here to let you know, because God is a God of mercy and love. God, hallelujah, he could have just wiped them all out. But guess what? He showed the greater side of God, which is love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Yes, there were times he had to rebuke them. But let me just say this. He didn't come but for one purpose, was to save mankind, to show mercy and grace. Because, see, the law pointed us to death, but the cross pointed us to salvation. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. And so look what King David wrote here in Psalms. Look what he wrote. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. You see, there's hope. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me what? Life. Life. See, God's word is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. God is a God who can comfort us in those moments that we go into affliction, or affliction comes to us, trouble comes to us, or we are afflicted with sickness. God is the God of all comfort, and his word is forever settled in heaven. His word will come alive unto you, will come alive unto me. Praise God. Thank you, God, because God has promises in his word. Yes, we know he's sovereign. Yes, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his will and purpose. But I'm here to let you know, saints of God, when we go through situations of life that you and I cannot solve on our own, we need to seek the face of God. We need to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to see that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Now, let's go to this next verse of scripture, or let's go to verse 12 now. We're going to verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now, saints of God, there is a structure in the church that God has set before us. And we are to honor the elders. We are to honor pastors and elders and deacons. Why? Because God had raised them up. And we need to trust the Lord for them. We need to pray for them. Can I get an amen? No one's perfect. We get that. But yet, if God has established their footsteps, we are to come alongside and be kingdom builders. We're not to be destroyers and dividers. Can I get an amen? Praise God. So, saints, they also learn to build each other up in the faith. Even as one believer receives encouragement, he or she at another time will be in a position to offer it. Praise God. Listen, I'd rather receive the instructions and then be ready to give out God's mercy and the call in my life. And what the call in my life is to minister to the saints of God. You see, my friends, the mutual giving and receiving in the body of Christ, it keeps the church strong. Strong against what? The forces that attack it. God's people always need to stand together as they anticipate their Savior's return. And how many believe that Jesus is coming again? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Yes, he is. He is coming again. Praise God. I'm so blessed to know that he's coming again. Praise God. And so, saints of God, the brothers and sisters in the church, they needed to show honor to those in leadership in order for everything to function smoothly. And the word honor is also translated respect. Respect. And these leaders, my friend, in the Lord's work, probably were the elders, like I mentioned, deacons who held positions of leadership and responsibility. Saints of God, elders carried great responsibility, and they were expected to be good examples. Why? Because these men work hard among the believers. They deserve to be honored. Paul expressed a similar thought in his letter to Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Look what it says here. Let the elders, say that with me at home, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of what? Double honor. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Verse 18, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the labor is worthy of his wages. That's right. That's right. We need to honor those in leadership. Why? Because they are the ones doing the work of the ministry. They're the called out ones, and we are to lock arms with them and walk in their ways and walk with them. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. Yes. You know, God is a good God. I hope you know that. And he's merciful. Amen. You see, saints, the leadership structure in the local churches, it began very early. And as Paul planted a church and then moved on, he needed to leave behind an organized group of believers, those who were willing to follow instructions. There's a structure in the church, and God should be the head over all. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the elders in the church have been ordained by God to what? To bless the body of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. And so let's look what the book of James says right here. In James chapter 5, look at this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let them pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let them sing songs. Look into verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he'll be what? Forgiven. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? See, God has a structure. And the structure is that we would follow those instructions. If anyone's sick, let them call for the elders. That's right. That they would, what? Confess their sin unto God if there's any. But yet, come humbly, yet boldly. The Bible says, through the throne room of grace. And watch God do the miraculous. Watch God do something supernatural. How many believe that God still does miracles today? Amen. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's move on to verse 13 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's go there. Look at it. It says, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Did you catch that, my friends? Be at peace among yourselves. You see, saints of God, leaders are not to be ignored or argued with. They are to be thought of highly and given wholehearted love. Why? Because of their work. Many of them are not on salary. A lot of them are just volunteers, but they love the Lord and they're called by God. And we need to honor them. We need to work with them. We need to respect them. We need to say, oh God, thank you. Thank you for the deacons. Thank you for the elders. Thank you for the leaders. Thank you for the pastors. Can I get an amen in the house? And so when believers throughout the world, when they respect their leaders and join them in their work, for what? For God's kingdom, the church will grow, and it'll grow profoundly. Can I get amen? Look what Paul wrote to the Philippian church right here. Look at this. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 through 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are what? True. Whatever things are noble. Whatever things are just. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are of good report. If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, look at this. Meditate on these things. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that? You see, God wants our hearts to be filled with joy, with love, with grace, with mercy. You know, unfortunately, there are times where we go through afflictions. We go through trials. We go through things that we did not anticipate. But I'm here to let you know that God is greater than our circumstance. That God can allow us to be overcomers. That God will strengthen you. That God will lift you up. Why? Because the Word of God says that God is the lifter of our head. Praise God. And how many at home right now believe that God has delivered you from many afflictions? Oh, yes. And I'm here to let you know, whatever God did in the past, he will do it again. Because he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Can I get an amen? God does not change. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient, meaning all-knowing, all-powerful. Praise God. Praise God. And if God be for you, who can be against you? See, we serve a God, hallelujah, that sticks closer than a brother. We serve a God that will always be with us through times of trials. We serve a God that says, I love you with an everlasting love. We serve a God that will never, never forsake us. Can I get an amen? And so we need to take joy and comfort that God will always be with us until the last day we take our last breath here on earth. And the moment we close our eyes here on this earth, the moment we open them again, we'll be with Him in glory. We will see Him face to face. We will rejoice. We will have the new body that He had promised us. He will wipe away every tear and every sorrow. How many can't wait for that moment? Listen, for some of you are young and vibrant, and you got many years ahead of you, praise God. But those who are seniors and are getting closer to that day, it's almost like we can't wait for the change to come. Praise God, praise God. And I'm in that number. I can't wait for the change to come. Amen. This body's failing me. I'm 62 already. And, you know, there's things that I'm afflicted with. But I have that hope, that lively hope, the hope that God has a body prepared for me, a brand new one. Thank you, Jesus. And I can't wait. I can't wait. He has promised every believer a brand new body, that we will live with Him forever, that we will be with Him in paradise. We will never grow old. Praise God. We will never be afflicted again with diseases. We will never have to face death anymore. How many can't wait for that moment? Praise God. Well, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I can't wait. But now, let's look what Proverbs says about this. Look at this for a moment. Let's go to Proverbs. Look at this. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have what? Joy. Joy. Let me just pause there for a moment. You and I that are called out of darkness into His marvelous light, God has done something so miraculous. He has given us His joy, His love, His peace. And so to do the work of the ministry, He empowers us. He enables us. We're not doing this on our own strength. We're not doing it with head knowledge. Why? Because we have been born from above. And once you've been born from above, the Spirit of God comes to live inside you and empowers you and gives you tremendous joy and supernatural strength to carry out His will, to do the will of God. And this is why, for the past 32 years, God has empowered me. Praise God. I never had a mind for this before when I was up to the age of 30. So before 30, people used to come witness to me. People used to tell me about Christ. I didn't want nothing to do with it. It was not until God quickened me, made me come alive, and He drew me to the cross where He opened up my eyes to see and my ears to hear. And once I surrendered my life to Him, then from that moment on, He has filled me with His power, with His anointing, with His joy, with His providence, that I would carry out the will that He has prepared for my life. And guess what? He has prepared a wonderful plan for you as well. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, of course it also helps if the leader does not have to spend all his time in dealing with internal conflicts. Praise God. Paul's reminder is that believers should live peaceably with each other, all to work together, to build the kingdom, and to serve one another. And the best way for this peace to occur is for all believers to serve their God-given gifts, to let others use their gifts, and then to respect and love one another for what God is doing through them and in them. Praise God. And so we're going to move on now to verse 14 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it reads, now, say that with me at home, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient. Be patient with all. That's what God is asking us today. Yes, I know this was written 2,000 years ago, but it applies to us today. Saints, while the leaders have special responsibility to guide the church, believers are not exempt from their responsibilities to what? To care for one another. Paul singled out three groups in the church, and he urged the believers to look after or deal with them each in a different way. First, and the first one, saints of God, is they are to warn those who are basically lazy, who don't want to do anything. The word warn means to firmly admonish. They were to warn the lazy, idle believers. And the word translated lazy is used only in the letters to the Thessalonians. And it seems to have been, saints of God, a particular concern for this church. The Greek word translated lazy is called atikotos, was used for soldiers who would not stay in the ranks. These people had set themselves outside the prescribed pattern for the church, while everyone else was working and serving, but they would not. Unfortunately, nothing has changed in 2,000 years. You're going to find those in churches across the land, those who serve with their whole heart, and those who are just idle. They're known as pew potatoes. They just sit in the pew, and they do nothing else. And that's okay, but you know what? God has something more glorious for those who would just enter in. Enter into the story. Enter in by faith. Walk in faith. Believe God that there's more for you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. See, my friends, the problem with idle people is that because they are not busy enough with valuable activities, they usually stir up trouble of one kind or another. Oh, yes. These people need to be warned to get back in line and to use their God-given gifts for the service and for the kingdom of God. Praise God. That they wouldn't be idle. Look what it says in Proverbs here. Let's go here to the Word of God. In Proverbs 13:4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. So, those of you at home, wouldn't you rather have prosperity in your life? So, mind, body, and soul? We're not talking about finance. We're not talking about money prosperity. We're talking about your being used by God, being used by the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let me tell you, there's precious rewards. There's great joy. And God remembers everything that we do for him here on this earth. Everything is written down in the books of heaven on what we do here on this earth. How we entreat one another. How we speak to one another. How we care for one another. Or the lack thereof. And so we need to be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Look at this next verse of scripture right here in Proverbs. Proverbs 15:19, the way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. Wow. How many of you at home want to be going in an upright highway than to be hedged around with thorns? Well, that's what the Word of God says. Praise God. Regarding those who are idle, that won't do anything. They won't even testify. They won't even share their faith. They won't even tell somebody about Jesus. And God has called us as the Great Commission to go out and make disciples. That's right. So God has already forever settled this in heaven. But unfortunately, there are churches throughout the land and throughout the world, they just sit idle. And so we are to motivate them. We are to inspire them. We are to let them know there's more than just coming to church on a Sunday. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Secondly now, they are to encourage those who are timid. You see, the lazy need to be warned, but the timid need to be encouraged. The timid are the fearful people who lack confidence, perhaps in themselves or even in their faith. You see, my friends, they have become discouraged or worried, possibly by persecution or by the deaths of their fellow believers during that time. These people need loving instruction from their fellow believers. What? To calm their fears and to build their confidence. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says here. King David wrote this in Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength. Say that with me at home. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and through the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and trouble, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Praise God. praise God. God is our refuge in the time of our need. Praise God. And thirdly, my friend, they are to take tender care of those who are weak. There's those that are weak in the church. And the word for take tender care is also translated simply as help. It pictures the action of holding on to these people, wrapping their arms around them, and clinging to them. Saints of God, this is the kind of help suggested for the spiritually weak, those weak in the faith, those who need such, or some of them are struggling financially, or those who might be struggling with sins associated with their past, with paganism that Paul wrote about. Oh yeah, there were so many things that they were plagued with. And these might be struggling, needy or immature Christians who need the arms of strong fellow believers to guide them, to give them support, and let them know that they are not alone. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that God has not left us alone? Huh? Aren't you so blessed He hasn't left us alone? Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. God doesn't want us to be confrontational. And there are times that we have to meet. But He wants you to discern, to see the true need of that believer, that they need help. They need us to love them, to strengthen them, to uphold them. Praise God. Praise God. We are a blessed people, saints of God. You may not know it, but I want you to know that you are a blessed people, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Let's look at this for a moment. Look at this. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. In other words, we're not to hoard our lives, our knowledge, our wisdom, just because those who are weaker, those who have not been in the Word as long as us, we're not to look over them like they are lesser than us. We are to help build them and bring them to a place of prominence in the kingdom of God, so that they can be productive. There are so many that can be so productive if only we take the time to teach them, to nurture them, to love them, to strengthen them, to help them. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. And so we're looking at our last scripture to break down here, and it's found in verse 15. So that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Praise God. Praise God. You see, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, knew that the church would be plagued with certain ailments, certain shortcomings, that God gave them wisdom and how we can turn those things around in their life to help them, to build up their life, to help them become productive saints of God. And so, saints, to a church under persecution during this time, they command against retaliation that it's not an option. Retaliation is not an option. Yes, there are going to be people that will offend you. There's going to be people that will speak evil against you. But we are not to retaliate in the same manner. We are to give it to God and say, oh God, I give it to You. You are the one that will judge. You are the one that will settle the account here. You see, my friends, Paul wrote that he said, see that no one pays back evil for evil. You see, personal revenge and retaliation are clearly forbidden to those who call themselves followers of Christ. How many believe at home that you are not to pay someone back with evil, no matter what was done against you? No matter what the slander was, no matter what the backbiting was, no matter what the lies that were spun about you, we are to give it to God. We're not to say one thing. Why? Because God will take care of that issue for you. That's right. And we're not asking God to get them. Oh, deal with them, God. Slap them around. No. We're saying, God, I give this to You. Just comfort my heart. Comfort my heart, because You only give us one day at a time. You see, Matthew wrote this in his writings. Look at this for a moment. Look at this. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was the Old Testament. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Wow. Wow. That's tough to do, huh? Come on. If someone just walk up to you and slap you upside your head, what are you going to do? Bible says to turn, give them your other cheek. Wow. That's hard, isn't it? That takes a lot of humility. That takes a lot of courage. That takes a lot of supernatural strength. But if God be for you, who could be against you? Oh, yeah. Well, we can get... Those of you know I grew up in National City. I can get NC on them. What up? But is that honoring God? Does that glorify God? No. We have to honor God and what He said in His Word. Can I get an amen? We got to honor God. We got to believe what God is saying to us. I know it's tough. I know it's hard for the human mind to fathom this. But this is why it takes a supernatural God to give us supernatural strength, to give us supernatural power to say no and give the other cheek. Whoo! Whoo, that's a rough one, saints of God. Huh? That's a rough one, isn't it? Look what also it says here in chapter 5, in verse 43. Look at this. You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. Wow. Listen, nothing's changed in 2,000 years. There are still people in churches that will rise up against one another. They can't even sit with one another. And they will backbite and they will woo, 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 woo. And God is saying, no, don't be like the heathen. Don't be like the unbelievers. But walk with a Christ-like manner. Walk with humility. Walk with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Learn to love people despite of their shortcomings. Why? Because the Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one that's perfect. Nobody. But God is teaching us how to walk in His ways, how to love one another, how to lift one another up. Let me just say this. If there's someone in the church that has talked about you, that has mocked you, ridiculed you, told a bunch of lies about you, you know how you retaliate? With love, with joy. What? Still loving them? I don't care. We're here but for a moment. And let me just say this. Jesus was clear. Is that when you pour out love, it's like hot coal on their head, and it melts their bitterness, and the way they have thought about you, it starts to melt it away, and then they'll start seeing the love of Christ in your life, and God will give them a paradigm change. God will change their concept about you. No matter if it was spun the way they spun it, the way they ridiculed and lied about you, God will change their heart. And the only way that's going to happen is through the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God. Let's not get caught up like the world. The world says, you punch me, I'll punch you back. Oh, that's right. That's what the world does. But the people of the kingdom of God, we need to take the humility approach. We need to humble ourselves. We need to walk like Christ. Jesus could have came down from the cross when they were about to murder him on the cross. But what did he say? What did he say to all those? They had ripped his beard. You got to remember that in all the movies, he has a little terry cloth on. And you don't see his genitals. But Josephus, who was there at the time, a historian, he wrote down that he was naked and he was so badly beaten. His skin was so torn apart that you couldn't even tell his gender no more. That's how badly ripped his genitals were, ripped out of his flesh. You couldn't tell whether he was male or female. And what did Jesus say before he gave up his spirit? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Wow. Only God and his mercy can say such a sentence like that. And that's for the whole world. For the whole world to see. We are reading about this for 2,000 years that have gone by. That when he was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, my friends, you and I deserve to be on that cross. Our sins should have condemned us to hell. We were headed to hell in a handbasket. This is why, as a believer, it's not so much spending eternity with him, having a new body, having all the benefits. When we realize he saved us from a place called hell. And we don't have to see that place ever. And by the grace of God, that he saved us from a horrible place. The Bible says that in hell, people are tormented 24/7. There's no clocks on the wall. Demons are tormenting them. And the Bible says that the worm dieth not, meaning there are worms crawling in every orifice of the body, crawling in and out, being tormented. Why? Because they rejected the love of God. They rejected the grace. They rejected the Savior who came to save them. And you and I, saints of God, we need to be a thankful people. I know what God saved me from. I was moments away of entering in to that place of torment, and he came and intercepted my life and called me to the cross. I couldn't save myself. He quickened me and called me to the cross. If he didn't quicken me, I would be already probably in a place of torment because those drugs would have took me out. But I give my praise and my glory and honor to God, for he saved a wretch like me. I'm going to finish this scripture right here. Look at this. In verse 44. "But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and also the unjust." And I'm going to close with this scripture found in Romans. Look at this. Paul wrote it best to the Roman church. "Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Verse 19, "Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written." Look at this right here, saints of God. "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord." You don't have to lift a finger. Look at this in verse 20 and 21. "Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap," as I mentioned, "you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Wow, that's the key. That's the key, saints. So there would be times where relationships between believers would be strained. They would also need to remember that they should never pay back evil for evil, but should always try to do good to each other, saints of God, and to everyone else, thus including those in the church and those outside of the church. Praise God. That believers should always try, meaning indicates a lifestyle of kindness. It should permeate their lives. And how many believe that Jesus is coming again? This is why we need to live every day as though he is coming tonight. We are to live holy. We are to be sanctified. We are to walk in his ways. We are to say, "Oh God, help me. Help me live this life that you have called me from darkness into your marvelous light." Why? Because I know that you're coming soon. How many believe at home he's coming again? He's coming again. He promised to come again to take his church out before the wrath of God is poured out. You see, here's the good news. We're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. Praise God. Praise God. And my friends, I'm here to let you know that when God comes, He's coming like this. Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep meaning they have died already and they're in their graves. Lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this in verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself, say that with me at home, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Look at verse 18. Therefore, frighten one another. No, it don't say that. It says comfort one another with these words. Praise God. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that God is coming for you and I? Now listen, I need you to, if this is your first time logging in this evening, I need you to know the next greatest miraculous thing that's going to take place on planet Earth is when Jesus comes and takes His church home. Oh, that's right. But listen, listen very carefully. We cannot go to heaven in these fleshly bodies. You see, I can't even jump 3 inches off the ground, let alone float up into heaven. So something has to change. And Paul wrote to the Corinthian church to let us know how this miraculous thing is going to be done. Look at this right here. Look at this. For this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Listen, I want you to see this little video clip right now. And if you haven't given your heart to Christ, if you haven't been born again, if you haven't surrendered your life, don't let this happen to you.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
Wow, my friends, you see those people that were left behind? They were playing church. They weren't believers at all. And when God came back for His church, He came back for those who are looking for Him, who are looking for His return. Those ones left behind, they were wannabe Christians. Maybe some of them just joined the church because their parents came to church. Maybe some of them were raised up in Sunday school, but never had a relationship with the living God. Maybe you who are watching, who are listening, who need to give their heart to Jesus Christ, well, It's by faith. And one of the great scriptures that I'm going to have you read right now is the key to having God come into your life and change you from the inside out. It's found in the book of Acts chapter 2. Look at this. This is Peter the Apostle. His very first sermon. This is the birth of the church. He said, then Peter said to them, repent. Meaning, turn to Christ. Turn to God. You've been walking the course of this world. Now, turn around and give your heart to Him. Now, do it God's way. He said, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness. And you shall. Didn't say you might. Didn't say maybe. It says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. Isn't that a blessing, saints of God? Huh? Isn't that a blessing to know that God wants to do the miraculous in your life? That God wants to save you? Listen, if you've never given your heart to Christ, I'm going to ask you just one thing. If you logged in for the first time, just bow your heart and your head. And I'm going to ask those who are watching the Amazing Grace family to pray with me for you. And cry out to God and ask God to save you right now. Oh, that's right. So bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. Someone just gave their heart to Christ. And if that's you, down below, you can see our website. Log on. We want to reach out to you. We want to give you a Bible. We want to pray for you. We want to direct you to a good church that preaches and teaches the unadulterated Word of God. If you're living here locally, we'd love to have you come out and visit us Sunday mornings at 10:30 at 5305 Sweetwater Road. Sunday morning, our 10:30 service. But if you're living out of state, we'll help you find a good church where you can plant and grow and learn to love and learn to walk in God's grace and mercy. And so I am so mighty thankful that you've all tuned in this evening. I'm thankful that God has allowed us to continue to reach out to Amazing Grace and those who would log on Facebook and YouTube. And so, my friends, it's time to sign off. And once again, I'm so mighty thankful that you have allowed us to come into your living rooms this evening to bring you the Word of God and the Bible study that was in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15. And so, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself, thank you once again for also, down below is our website, thank you for those who have continued to support our ministry. Donations are deeply appreciated. Well, God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, May God bless you, and thank you for listening.